Well, good evening. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, we finally arrived. Lent. It's one of my, and I'm not going to lie, it's one of my more favorite seasons of the church year. Mostly because I love the hymns that we get to sing with it. I love the messages that are proclaimed in it, the salvation that we have in Christ. I also like the stories, and I'm especially happy that we'll be going through Mark this Lenten season. But if there's one thing that always kind of stood out to me about Lent, is that most people actually know what we're talking about in the world when we talk about Lent. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. How many of us can go by and we see a sign that says community fish fries on Friday at our local Catholic church? I remember running around in my neighborhood, and there's a giant sign in one of our neighbor's yards that had a pancake breakfast that was happening just yesterday at one of the Catholic churches in our neighborhood. People know what Lent is about. But trying to explain it to them might be a little bit harder. At least it was for me when I was in high school. When I was in high school, I would always say, oh, it's time for Lent, or I would appear in school with this big old cross on my head on Wednesday, and people would ask me what that is. And I would say, oh, it's Lent. Now, being from Michigan, most people, and around my area, most people knew what Lent was. Mostly their responses were like, oh, is that the time where you only can, you know, eat fish on Fridays? Or is it that time that you got to give up stuff for 6 weeks? And so, and like, yeah. And it's like, oh, so what did you give up? And it's like, chocolate, video games, soda. Okay, not that last one. I couldn't live without that when I was a kid. But how would we describe what Lent is to someone who doesn't know? We could say it is a holiday for the church year, a time where we celebrate Christ, a time where we can truly reflect upon our sins and our need for a Savior. That's kind of interesting and might get a point across, but many people wouldn't even understand that. They might want you to be a little bit more broad, explain a little bit easier. They say, what does it mean to be a Christian? Okay, that may be a bit easier. It's about following Christ and his gospel. And then the question became, all right, what's the gospel? I did not have a good answer for that when people asked me that in high school. I did not, and even now, I have to sometimes stop and think, what is the gospel? How can I explain it to someone who really has no idea what the gospel is? What all this church stuff is about? Why is it important? How can I even begin a conversation like that? The scriptures are clear, though. We are Christians. We are supposed to confess the gospel. In Romans 10, Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All right? And John, in his epistle, said, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And even we heard today in the epistle that Peter wrote, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. To be a Christian is to believe in the gospel and to confess the gospel. We certainly do a great job in believing in it. What about confessing it? Sometimes it can be, for some of us, much easier than anyone else. But sometimes it can be difficult. It can be hard. Peter says that we should be at all times ready to give an account. I'm not going to lie, when I was in high school, some people would actually ask me, so what do you believe? I would wear a Christian t-shirt, and I would say I was a Christian. So they would say to me, okay, what is this Christian stuff all about? And I'm like, it's kind of like this. I would stumble across the words. You see, I didn't know what to say. I was kind of lost. I wasn't really following what Peter said, to be ready at all times to give an account. But we live in a world today where things want to be short. We want a short account of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. maybe less than 140 characters on a Twitter account, or a simple Facebook post or an Instagram post, or something even shorter. In 2010, an article came out, and it asked a simple question. It was in a Christian magazine called The Gospel, and the article was called The Gospel in 7 Words. The author invited 15 participants, prominent theologians from around the country, to give about 7 words to describe the gospel. What would they use? Were they important words? Were they summaries? Well, what did they use? Some of them were true and faithful. Some of them were even creative. And I want to share with you just a couple of ones that were actually shown. These were used to confess the gospel. See how accurate they are. In Christ, God's yes defeats our no. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. God was in Christ, reconciling the world. There are some other ones, and we will actually, in this time of Lent, on our Wednesday services, be going through some of those gospel in 7 words. And actually, throughout this Lenten season, I would encourage you all to have your gospel in 7 words. Write it down. Bring it back on Wednesday or even Sunday and tell us it. I actually am very curious because I don't even know. That's a hard thing for me. I will be doing this, and when I preach next time, I will share with you my gospel in 7 words. But in these ones that we just read, in Christ, God's yes defeats our no. God, through Jesus Christ, welcomes you anyhow. God was in Christ reconciling the world. Each of these is true. These are good testimonies of our hope in Jesus Christ. But notice also that they use different words, different images. One of them has a God that is conquering and defeats our problems. One of them has a welcoming Jesus. And the other one has Christ reconciling us and the world. They summarize the good news of what Christ has done for us, but in different ways. Always be prepared. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that you have. We have hope, and it is shown more clearly and brightly tonight of all nights, because that hope is right on our foreheads. In honor of our Ash Wednesday service, I'd like to share one specific gospel in 7 words. In fact, it only takes 5 words. There was a man who's Reverend Martin, and hopefully I'm pronouncing this right, Copenhaver. And he is a professor at one of the oldest theological institutes in our country, the Andover Newton Theological School in Massachusetts. And that was a mouthful, let me tell you, to get that down. In his summary, in his gospel in 7 words, he used 5. God gets the last word. God gets the last word. On this Ash Wednesday, we can see it plainly on our foreheads. When Christ was hanging upon that cross, his last words were, "It is finished." And he died. And by dying, sin died with him. He rose again from the dead. And when he appeared to his disciples, the first words that he spoke, "For peace be with you." For he was alive who once was dead. His last words when he left them were as a command to go and make disciples of all nations, but also a comfort that I will be with you to the very end of the age. God gets the last word. We know that in this time of Lent, we see much of the sadness of our world, dwelling on death, brokenness, and even pain. But God gets the last word. He reconciled us to Him. He accepted us even when we were full of sin, not because we deserved it, but because He loved us. And He said yes to us, even when we rejected Him. During this Lenten season, I pray that we will have the strength to confess our Savior. Faith to know that He gets the last word, that He has come into this world, and the world is different for it. I pray that we may be able to share this hope, that we may get the last word in. And I pray that each of you might know your gospel in 7 words. Amen.